What are we even talking about?
We're talking about releases.
Oh, yeah.
Remember this?
Yeah. We do that.
We've released a few things. What is up, people of the Music Universe? Welcome back to the Anna Creates Podcast. Today, I am in person, I think, for the first in-person podcast. Well, second one, but first one that's ever getting released.
First one that'll probably actually
actually come out. Yeah. Malcolm and I do a lot of stuff in person, but we do a lot of stuff digitally. We've done a bunch of podcasts remotely. Mm-hmm. But this is, this is one of the first that we've done actually in person. So Woo. This is kind of cool.
Yeah, no, it's actually kind of fun to have you in my studio, just sitting here, hanging out, and having a conversation like we normally do.
Yeah, like we do, we've had for about the last 2 days.
Yeah.
Now we just decided to do it in front of mics for once. But yeah, thanks for coming on the podcast, and I think this is going to be really fun.
Yeah, thanks for coming.
We've talked about this a couple times over the last couple years, actually, doing, like, kind of summarizing our thoughts on this topic, which is releases, and the way bands, artists release music. And I think we have an interesting way to look at it because obviously I've worked with a ton of different bands from all genres and all that kind of stuff and see the way that they release music. You come at it from another side of this, which is one, you're an artist as well with a few different projects with a band that just released a bunch of cool stuff.
Oh, thank you.
As well as you make music videos for bands. So you see,
I'm on the production side. The production side of it.
But it's also the production side of the videos and like what surrounds the record, not only the production, you obviously do production of the music as well, but the production of like the content to help the release get promoted, I guess, too, right?
No doubt. And I think a lot of people shortchange themselves when they go to music videos because it's always like a last minute thought, because obviously like the music comes first. At the end of the day, the music is the most important thing. Everything else is supplementary. But by the same token, if you don't give the same thought to the supplementary stuff as you do the main product, let's say, then I think it can really fall by the wayside and get kind of like almost convoluted and messy because it's not coherent. It's not a full package. But I think I always really encourage bands to like think about your music video and how it's representing you now. Like, is this album a new phase of the artist and how you want to be represented? Like, how does this music video represent your new album? Like, does it make you look a certain way? Does it make you feel a certain way? Don't just think about the song. Think about the whole package.
Yeah.
Which I think is like kind of what led us to this conversation too, is I've been trying out a lot of different things with Fremont Pike, which has been great because Fremont Pike gives me a ton of liberty when it comes to our music videos. Obviously the band has a ton of input and we pitch around different ideas, but a lot of those ideas really come down to Malcolm, can you do that? and
often the answer is yeah, sure.
No, but I can probably figure it out.
Exactly.
And sometimes too, like we'll get into too, there are some times where I've just approached the band like, hey, I have this concept that I just want to do. Can you just like trust me and like let me do this?
Yeah.
So like that's the great thing about Fremont Pike is there's a lot of, we give each other a lot of freedom to just try things. And if there's someone in the band that's like, I have this idea, I just want to try it, we'll probably go along with it. So it's a great project that way because it's cool. We're making great music and we're having a lot of fun playing shows and making cool videos. But it's also fertile ground for just innovation and just trying shit out and seeing what sticks to the wall and what doesn't.
Yeah, you know? Exactly. And then you also have Sons of Horus,
which is
just you. And so like some of the ideas, I guess you could say, can't be as ambitious because there's not as many people in them.
Yes, and I just don't have the funds to.
Yeah.
Like at least with a 4-piece, 5-piece band, like you can split the cost.
Exactly.
If you need to, so.
Yeah, you each pitch in $200 and suddenly you have, you know, $800. It's like, oh, okay, there we go. Like that's a lot easier to swallow.
Yeah.
So what I thought we should talk about is we'll start out with some look at like the way Fremont's done their releases and the way they approach it, because there's some really cool stuff in that. And then a little bit into what you learned from that and what you would do or not do again. And what other artists and bands can take from that, because you and I have talked at length about different artists that we've worked with, in various capacities and you see a lot of different things and I think sometimes artists just need to kind of
think it through.
Exactly. They need to think it through.
Just like think it through. Like there's moving parts, you know. It's like it's the same with a record too. Some bands just don't think it through of like, I want it released now while I have to coordinate the mixer and the audio engineer and the mastering. And like certain things just have to get done before other things can get done. And if you rush something, it's going to create just a series of chain links that don't, you know, aren't as structurally sound as they could be. So it's, yeah, it's a lot of that. I think we're going to talk a lot about that, of just like how to plan things out, how to kind of conceptualize timelines, I think, which is a big thing. And I guess for me too, it's just like, I'm a busy guy by choice.
Yep.
I like having a lot going on, and I have a hard time putting to bed an idea that gets me excited. So I just take on a little bit too much, but the only way I'm able to do that is by really rationalizing my time and my timelines and being realistic about what can be on the back burner, what has to be like a pressing matter.
Yeah.
And what has to take priority when and how.
The thing is you always have to remember, and this is the funny thing with releases in general, and we're not talking about the production of the music. We're not going into that as much as the aftermath of the production. Once you have the record, what do you do with it now? And the funny thing to me is bands put so much effort and so much time and so much money into making a record oftentimes. And then they have it and they go, okay, I want it out next week.
Yeah. Because like, they're excited about it. Like, excited. I get it.
I get it. But the problem is, it's like, that's not going to help more people get to hear it.
Yeah.
That's not going to help spread the word of this thing that you put all of, like, you're only as strong as your weakest point. And if you do a really crappy release and just like post, hey, we made a record and that's it.
Yeah.
Five people are going to listen to this thing you've put money and sweat into.
Yeah. Especially today too, where so like, I don't have the numbers on hand, but we've all heard like X amount of songs are released on Spotify.
Yeah.
By like per hour, not
millions.
Even per day.
Like we're in the like, millions, not 10,
like thousands an hour are new tracks are being released. And honestly, a lot of them are very good.
Yeah.
You know, like a lot of them are very competitive. So what makes people want to listen to your music? I would say really considering your release strategy, pre-post as well, because that's a thing I think we'll get into too, is like, don't put all the hype at the beginning. Because I know, and again, too, we'll get into that because we've experimented with both and we've found a lot more success with one over the other. Yeah. And that, and you know, and I guess always, I feel like we always put an asterisk on anything we start talking about. But one thing to say is like, this isn't like, we're not sitting here being like, this is the golden rule of how to release your music. It's just things to think about. And I think if you think about it, you will ultimately do something more successful than if you don't think about it and just go with whatever you've heard.
Yeah.
So just like think it through. This isn't like gold standards here. We don't have like ginormous numbers to prove any of this, but we've seen more success with some strategies over others.
And I think too, actually, that the less ginormous numbers almost can show you more, because it's like you're going from 25 listeners to 150. Clearly something worked.
There's some momentum
and there's some
too,
stickiness. Yeah. Whereas like when you start getting into 1 million versus 1.2 million, yeah, okay.
Yeah, yeah. Like what's really
what's really happening, you know?
And your name is carrying such weight at that point that like there's, you have such a following that like, you know, you're going to hit some numbers just by releasing something.
As soon as it, yeah, exactly.
Whereas like smaller artists, yeah, you're right. Like it's how to cut through the noise and actually get, you know, some attention when you shouldn't, if you will. You know?
Oh, 100%. So let's start with some Fremont stuff. I'd love to hear you talk about Fremont's released two EPs.
Mm-hmm.
What was kind of the impetus for, let's go back to EP one. Now, just talk about that release.
Sure. Yeah. It's a bit of a long story, I'll say. And like some of this too is even me learning from Sons of Horus too. Mm. So like if you don't mind, I'll step back to Sons
absolutely.
Of Horus first. So like,
let's do it.
When I released Canopic EP, I think in 2020 or 2019.
And that was the first, I'm just going to say that's the first of three Sons of Horus EPs that have been released.
Yes.
Okay.
That one, it took like 5 years to do. So by the time it was actually done, I just like put it out. And I ended up figuring out like, I just did like two playthrough videos on drums afterwards. Like, but like that release wasn't very good.
Right.
It was, okay, it's finally done. I need to get it out there. I was like pretty impatient at that point. So when I did, and at that point, I'd actually already, by the time Canopic EP came out, I was already working on Revolution EP. Because again, it had taken so long that I was like, and I had already like moved on from what I wanted to do with the next one anyway.
Yeah.
So when I started working on Revolution EP, again, you know, produced by Emmett O'Reilly, you mixed it.
Yep.
So with that, I decided to bring on more people to kind of get it done better. So that's why I, you know, hired Emmett as a producer and, you know, had you mix the whole thing and we consulted. So we did a lot more process there in terms of getting the record in a really good place. And then the record was done. And then before we released it, we shot three music videos. And they're kind of more playthrough-ish, but yep. like fancy playthrough is yep. how I almost kind of consider them. And for that, I decided to do two video releases, pre-album drop, yep. and then one post.
Okay.
So I think it was like a month before I dropped one video, 2 weeks later I dropped the next video, 2 weeks later I dropped the EP, and then 2 weeks after that I dropped the final song.
Right.
But none of them were released to streaming until the full EP dropped on streaming. So gotcha. It was video only, full EP is out, video only.
Right.
So that was an interesting way to do it. And I learned a lot from doing that. You know, I definitely, you know, I went back and looked at the numbers and figured out like, okay, what kind of worked, what kind of did. And the third video didn't do as well as the first two.
Okay.
Ironically, the first one, I think, made a lot of noise. The second one made different noise, but not quite as hard. And right. then when the EP came out, the EP did really good numbers. But then the third video didn't do too well. It's kind of caught up
right.
in the long run, but with that initial release. So about a year after that, I was working on Salem EP, but then at this point I'm in Fremont. So Fremont, when I joined, had already done some recording of mm-hmm. this EP and kind of had it like close to done.
Yep.
But we had added a bunch of band members. So it was originally just Dylan and Andy, and then they had added me on drums, Brandon on lead guitar, and Anthony on bass. And so me, Brandon, and Anthony weren't on any of these recordings.
Gotcha.
But they kind of still wanted to put them out because they had done them. So we had a lot of conversations, which ended with, we feel like this is a new band now. Like this five piece is a new group mm-hmm. that those other recordings just don't represent.
Yeah.
So let's just re-record it from the ground up. And I offered to do it because that was what I was pitching. So that was, I was like, we'll redo it all, but I'll do it for us, you know. So I want to say this was like March when we started having, like, we decided to do this. And here's the thing is Andy and Dylan have this like thing about sevens. Like seven is just a number that keeps popping up in their lives for whatever yeah. reason. So Andy was really gung-ho on releasing the album on July 7th.
Okay.
And this is in March. And he's saying this. He's like, okay, but like if we do this, I still want to release it on July 7th. Because he had thought that was more attainable, obviously, when things were already done. And I was kind of like, okay, well, let's sit down and let's figure this out. So if we want it released, and again, here's some numbers to kind of offer. Is like if you're going to release something on streaming, it's got to be uploaded a month before minimum.
Mm-hmm.
It's got to be on the streaming platform or whatever your distribution platform is a month before that. So that means the record has to be fully done, mastered, and everything by June 7th. Well, it should be mastered at least 2 weeks before that. Let's say, even that's an ambitious timeline, but let's say 2 weeks before that, it's got to be mastered. So that's, end of May.
Yep.
So that means it's got to be mixed by then, obviously. So basically we reverse engineered it that way. So we figured out it's like, okay, we'll have April to record these five songs. April will just be recording. May will be mixing. We'll have 3 weeks in May to mix, send it to master, get the masters back, and then upload it to streaming. And luckily too, like I've had Alistair Sims master all of my stuff. So I have a good sense of his turnaround too. So I know he turns things around pretty quickly. So
shout out to Al.
He does great work and fast too. So like, again, too, like if you work with people, you know their timelines and their turnarounds, which I think helps a lot. So I could build that into like the idea. By the time we got it to like a rough mix, that's when we started talking videos. Again, this was a fairly rushed process.
Right.
But we started talking videos and we're like, okay, well, how do we want to release this? We decided we were going to do a single lyric video release first and then a music video and then drop the album and then do one more video after that.
Right.
We didn't end up doing a third video. We just kind of ran out of time.
Oh, okay.
Again, this was such a rushed process. But we got the lyric video out, and it did pretty okay. And we got the music video out, and it did pretty okay. And then we released the EP, and it did quite well. When we released each video this time, we released the streaming at the same time. The problem with that, and this is what we noticed right away, or at least what I noticed right away, was it really split our promotional focus.
True.
Because when you release the audio at the same time on like the audio on streaming as the same time as a video, I found half the band promoted one and half the band promoted the other.
Yep.
And the actual band account promoted one or the other
or
tried to do both. And it was like, hey, go stream this, but also go watch this video, but also get hyped for it because an album's coming. Like it really split our focus. And I think that was the big problem with doing it that way was I think it split our streams in half. I think it split our video views in half. Like it because it was so kind of unfocused.
And the messaging of the whole thing wasn't clear. Yeah, so nobody knew what to promote exactly. So it wasn't a cohesive message to the audience.
And here's the other problem too. You're asking people on one platform to get off that platform, go to another one and do a thing.
Yep.
And even if we give you the link, yeah, you tap it, but you still have to leave the platform you logged on to go do something else on some other platform. So like we realized pretty quickly that that wasn't the way to do it moving forward.
Right.
But that's, and again, too, the reason we did it that way is that's sort of the quote traditional way to do it.
Yep.
Is you do one or two singles before, try to drop a video with it. You drop the body of work at EPLP and then you do a few more after that.
Yep.
If, you know, if you got the momentum for it.
Yep.
So yeah, we learned a lot from that process. The timeline, I think, was the best takeaway, was that we realized that like setting that strict timeline of like, this has to be done by here, by here, by here, really helped us. So after that, we took a little bit of a break. 3 months after we put out EP1, basically, we decided to do EP2, which would just be a three-song little ditty. And here's the thing, is I needed to have back surgery, and that was scheduled for mid-November.
Right.
So we're talking about this and like the rest of the guys are on board and I go, okay, so here's the thing. If we do this, we have to have it all tracked before I go under the knife. Like there's just like, I won't be able to do it. Like the recovery from my back surgery was 12 weeks.
Yeah.
Like I can work at a computer and mix, but like there's no way I can do any engineering with this. So we go into it, we get it done. I get through back surgery. About 2 weeks later, I started mixing it and basically we had it mixed by December.
Yep.
And then we sent it out and got it mastered. We then decided to sit on it for a little bit. We were like, you know what? We should really treat these as three singles. We shouldn't treat this as an EP. We should treat it as like basically three singles. Therefore, we should do three music videos for them. And then we talked about just doing like, let's try something different. Rather than doing like one, like release one single and then release the EP and then do two more as singles. What if we released one every month for 3 months? So that we just had like a steady stream of content coming out for basically 4 months. Cause you have like single, 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 and then like it's all out basically. And we kind of celebrate that.
Yeah.
The other thing we talked about too was basically doing no like pre-save or like pre-hype for it. Cause that was something that we did with EP1 is we pre-hyped it a lot.
Right.
We did a ton of like memes and we did like an EP announcement video and we did pre-save after pre-save after pre-save for the singles for the EP. And we had so much momentum going into the release that once it went out, we were so tired that we stopped promoting it after it was out.
Right, yeah.
Because we had put in weeks of effort every single time to be like, hit this pre-save, go and put your email in and then be notified when it comes out. And like, it's coming, it's coming, it's coming, it's out. I'm tired, go home. You know what I mean? Like, it was almost kind of that. So we were really trying to like figure out how to do the opposite essentially of how we did EP1 just to kind of compare and contrast, honestly.
Mm-hmm.
We had originally thought we were going to put out that EP at like the beginning of the year. We ended up pushing it to the spring so that I had enough time to heal from my back surgery and like get like walking it because I had to wear this back brace for 12 weeks too.
Right.
So then I had to get used to not wearing the back brace and like building up those muscles that had like minorly atrophied
over
12 weeks and everything like this. So
to go back to drumming and running around with cameras.
Yeah. And because like, I had to drum, I had to hold and run around with cameras and direct and set up lighting. Yeah. Like
that's physically demanding. The whole thing is physically demanding.
So I said, I was like, I want to do this, but I need more time to just like heal and feel confident that like I don't just jump into this and then put myself all the like backwards 12 weeks. Which again has nothing to do with like music per se, but it's like things happen, like life kind of happens and it becomes part of the conversation and the timeline. So again, we hadn't hyped this at all, we hadn't told anyone about it, so we could keep pushing as far as we needed it to be able to organize all these steps. So we sat down and we sketched out three music video ideas that I won't go into them because you can go watch them.
They'll all be linked in the description.
Yeah, we'll link them in the description. Perfect. So we get everything done and we're planning everything out. So the other thing we did with EP2 is again, learning from one, is changing the rollout structure in terms of how things are released and when to what.
Yeah.
So what we decided to do was we would release the audio first with no lead up. I think we posted like one thing on Instagram the day before, like, hey, we might release a song tomorrow. Like, and that was it. Like, yeah, we didn't do pre-save, none of that. I had watched quite a few videos about how like pre-save is not worth it, and things like this too. So, so we released the audio, and then we had a video that went along promoting the audio every other day for a week. So right. That was the other thing too, is we made EP art, but then we had from the EP art, like the album cover, we had like little icons that were in that, that then we used for the single EP.
Right.
So they all tie together. So like the album art is like a full composite, but then the, singles are just like little elements, which is kind of right. Cool.
That's neat.
So I took that and I turned it into little videos with just the audio playing. And it's just like, you know, like just little floating icons with a name or like out now or out streaming, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So we released the audio and we would promote the audio for basically a solid week. Like, go stream it, go check it out. And then after a week, we drop the video again, unannounced. Our first drop of that, and to give you some comparison too, when we put out Deep End, I think, which was the first music video from EP1, I think it hit like 250, 300 views. Like, you know, and when we dropped Detroit Girl, which was the first single off EP2, the video got over 1,000 views in the first weekend.
That's nuts.
Right? Because we had put the song out and we had promoted the song. So people like knew the song and were kind of like, this is a cool track. Like, I want to check it out. Drop a video. Oh, cool. Now I can see it.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, it did phenomenally well. I think that one's up to like 1,500 views now. For like a small little band that doesn't have a ginormous following, it's mainly like friends and family. Like, it really popped off.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of the collaboration helped with that, but I think the rollout also helped. And we also took the video and chopped it up into like a bunch of little like square content. So like once the video came out, every other day for like 2 weeks, we were dropping clips of the video on Instagram and on Facebook and on TikTok, being like, check out our new music video. Here's 10 seconds of it to like give you a little taste or, you know, kind of intrigue you. So again, I think it gave more buy-in for a lot of the listeners because they could see a little piece of it. Like, yeah, I kind of want to see what this is all about, because they see like one gag from the middle of the video and be like, what the hell is this? And go check it out. So
because I think it was a good video for that, because it had a lot of like
eye candy,
memeable moments, I guess you could, like things that are like, what is that? It's not a overly serious music video. So there's
not
a lot of like
all.
BTS that like you can share, and it's like, wait a minute, what the heck is this?
Yeah,
it's fun.
Yeah, we did have like behind the scenes photos and stuff like that too. Absolutely.
Yeah.
So yeah, a month later we did the same thing. I think that one hit 1,000 views in the first weekend, actually.
Okay.
I think Detroit Girl, it was 1,000 views in the first week. The second one was 1,000 views in that weekend.
Right. So you could see the noticeable, like, this is going
to
be good.
Yeah, and it was a month later. So we gave enough time for that one to kind of settle but not be forgotten, too.
Yep. Yep.
And I think when that one came out, that's when Detroit Girl also bumped itself up to 1.5.
Okay.
You know, so it stayed competitive by comparison, too. And then a month later, we did the same exact strategy with Sunday Scaries, and it did quite well as well. And again, too, I feel like we were just so much more zoned into what we were doing, because it was like, you drop the audio, you promote the audio for a week, you drop the video, you promote the video for 2 weeks, with content pieces and just by saying, go check it out. And then you rest for a week. And then you do it all again.
Right.
So we had like 3 months of like solid eyes and content. Leading up to then, okay, so like the EP is now out, go check it out. And that's leading into a big festival that we're playing in August. So that was the other thing that we were considering too, is we're playing this Excellency Fest in August. And we wanted to kind of line the rollout of this EP up to that, because it's our most anticipated show, which I think is working really well because we've sold a bunch of tickets for it.
Perfect.
That was kind of the mechanics of it. Yeah. It was a lot of learning from EP1. We did it sort of, if you will, the traditional way, but we learned a lot from how we did that.
Yep.
And it totally changed our perspective for how we approached EP2 in terms of like figuring out the timeline, reverse engineering it, and just like giving ourselves the time to get all the content pieces together too, you know, so that we felt good about it. And we knew what we were posting every day. No one had to come up with a post or anything like that.
It was all pre-planned when there was no pressure.
All you had to do was post it and write a little, like a funny little message to go with it. And even then, if your message was just like, the single's out, we hope you enjoy it, go check it out, like, fine. Like, link in bio, you know how this works by now.
Exactly.
So by the time the first thing got released, everything else was done.
Right.
Everything else was ready to go, uploaded in the drive. You just had to click and drag it into Instagram or whatever.
Yeah. How did you go about the, like, I get the timeline for the whole thing makes sense, yeah. But the content pieces around that, like the little tiny things, because honestly, I think that's where a lot of people fall short. They know the music video, they have the record, they have the streaming.
Yeah.
That all makes sense. That's very high level. Totally. But it's the little in-betweens that people don't necessarily think about or know what to do.
Yeah.
And like, I think when, you know, looking at what you guys released and the way you guys did it, it's not complicated.
No,
they're like, not fancy. They're not mini music videos every time.
No. And like the pieces of the music video, I converted it to a square aspect ratio so that it would work on any platform. Yeah. And I just took chunks of the video that didn't like give away any of the surprises, but like gave some intrigue.
Yes.
I didn't make anything new.
Where in the planning did that come into going, oh, we need to make this. We're going to do it every other day. We need 10 of them or whatever.
Yeah.
How, like, when did that come? Was that, we filmed the video, I have all this footage. You know what? When we release it, let me make 10 clips.
That was it, more or less.
More like that.
Yeah. It was more or less, after we were done the videos, I just sat myself down. I was like, okay, what more can I pull from this?
Right.
We have the full video done and it looks good. I don't want to make more content from it. I just want to figure out how to use what's there and make it work for me better.
Yep.
And we had conversations about that in the past too, of how can we spread our content further? Like, how can we make something and make it keep working for us?
Yeah.
Without like too much extra effort or money.
Yeah.
And so that was one idea. I was like, well, let's just take little like 10 second clips from the video that kind of give some intrigue and make you want to watch it.
Right.
And we'll just put those out there. That's fine. And now that's something I do for my clients now unasked.
Right.
Because I want the videos to succeed. That's the thing, is like, yeah, I get paid to make the music video, but like, I want it to do well, because the better it does, the better I look, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
I want the band to succeed. I want the videos I make to do well. So I just make that for bands now.
Yeah.
I do the music video and I just like chop up a bunch of clips, put them in a square aspect ratio and go, here's promo, use it or don't.
Yeah. You
know, like it's your call, but it just comes with the price of the editing.
Yeah.
With the audio, that was us looking for something different. Like, we wanted to be able to not just like post a photo and say, go listen to it. I wanted something that you could interact with, that you could see moving, that like, again, too, trying to just disrupt that scrolling mentality of like, when someone's just scrolling through TikTok or Instagram or Facebook or whatever, how can I do something that'll just like jar you, or at least like catch your,
grab your attention
just a little bit more? And I thought like the EP artwork, but it's moving. Would do that, you know, or like if you have your sound on, that is suddenly, you know, like it's suddenly a video that's going to play sound.
Yeah.
Instagram's really pushing reels too, so they automatically became reels, I think, which helped push them a little bit better too.
Yeah.
And that was something too, that again, that's something that I've just learned from my past projects, is when we had the album art commissioned, I was very insistent, we need the assets.
Right.
You need to give us all of the pieces so that in theory we can use any piece of it to put it back together.
Yeah.
So I was like, I need the background as a PNG. I need all of the icons, all of the like layers basically.
Yep.
Just give me all of the layers as PNG files, like without alpha backgrounds, so that I can just kind of restitch them together by make a move, like a video.
I think that's well worth it for a lot of people because they don't think about that. But
yeah, you just get
having those assets.
You just get the flat album art at the end of the day as a JPEG, and it's like, you need that. But like, honestly, I highly recommend it. Anytime you work with an artist for album art, like get the assets, get the layers, get all of the elements. Like just have them give you everything. Give you the color codes that they used.
Yeah.
Get the background so that you can use that background for everything and just slap stuff on top of it. It creates this really cohesive brand, this cohesive look.
Yep.
As you put stuff out, I think it's really important. And even if you never use it, you have it.
Yep.
So that maybe when you work with a videographer, they can use it. Even if you don't know how to use it, get it.
Yep.
Someone you work with will probably know how to
use it.
You'll use it for tour posters, show posters, music videos, everything. Yeah.
And I think that's actually a really good point to highlight, is all of this is going under to make the release, but also the band's brand pop out. Like, for Fremont, like it's a fun band. The guys are fun.
Mm-hmm.
So even though like Sunday Scaries is a bit more of a serious cinematic video, the little clips and the posts along with it are the band's funny voice in a way. Like that's where it comes in.
And it created a cohesive look too, because okay, they're putting out little clips of the video. I can go watch it. I know what's out.
You know what to expect too. Mm-hmm. Like, you know exactly what's going to happen. And like, even though you're not explicitly saying, hey, we're going to release the audio, and then 2 weeks later, we're gonna, it, after the second one, people are like, wait a minute. And then when they release the audio, it's like,
on this, yeah.
Oh, the third, this one's going to come with a video, isn't it? Yeah. Like it, and it makes sense. And you, part of it's like you make that habit for them, and mm-hmm. they fall into it, and you don't want to like jar that and go, well, we did the first two and we're not going to do the third one.
Yeah.
Cause then, then people are just going to be even subconsciously pissed.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. Why didn't that one happen? You know
yeah,
what I mean?
Or why is this one different?
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And like, that's not a thing that you have to do necessarily for every release, but mm-hmm. it's that release should have a cohesive thing
yeah.
that then makes sense.
Exactly. 100%. Know? And like I said, too, I did a lot of research on other bands on how they do it. And I started noticing that like right after EP1, most bands don't release the audio and the video at the same time.
Yeah.
A lot of bands will release the video first. And I pushed for that initially. I wanted to release the video first and the audio later.
Yeah.
Because then I thought it was like, if you like the song, you'll just have to keep watching the video. Yep. You can't just like add it to a playlist and forget about it or whatever. Yep. The band really pushed for the opposite, which that's what we went with. And I think it worked. It was fine. I think either can work, but definitely splitting them up so that like you release one like either video or audio and just do it separately. Yeah, yeah. Basically just do it separately. I think that is a new golden rule that we're going to adopt is separate it out so that you give the first one its chance, basically, to just be the only way you can see or listen to that, and then transfer to the other one. And it kind of gives them both their dues.
Yeah.
It dramatically helped our numbers. And it was crazy how well it helped our numbers.
Yeah, I think, too, the biggest part of that is also just the understanding of the messaging behind it. Because even if you look at bigger bands who release the video and the audio at the same time, that's fine, and it works. But their messaging isn't go stream it. It's watch the video. And then 2 weeks later, they start going, hey, it's on Spotify or whatever they say.
That's the thing, too.
It might be there because focused. Like for some people, they watch the video and it's like, OK, cool. I'm not somebody who sits on YouTube all the time, so I want to stream it.
Yeah.
And while I'm thinking about it, I've now added it to my library and I'm going to listen to it a million times. Some people don't think about that. Mm-hmm. And if the streaming's not there, they'll watch the video once and they'll think, oh, it's not a streaming. And then they'll forget.
Mm-hmm.
And they just, frankly, they'll forget.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right? Mm-hmm. But if you cohesively message it, so you're not splitting it at the beginning, even if you do release them at the same time, that's the messaging that has to be cohesive so that you understand as an audience member, what do you want me to do? Because I can do one thing.
Yeah.
That is it.
I'll do one thing for you.
Yes. Yeah, I will not do a million because everybody's asking me to do things.
Yeah.
I will do one thing for you, especially if you have to click somewhere else.
You have 50 bands in your timelines that are asking you to do this.
That are releasing new music yesterday.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's a lot. People are inundated with that. So you have to stand out and also know what your messaging is. Clear, concise, easy.
Yeah.
And every 2 weeks to a month, you can change that messaging to ask for something else.
Yeah.
That's fine.
Exactly.
But you need to not inundate them so it's like every other day it's a new ask because something new's happened. No, it's not going to work.
And that's what I think worked with what we did was we put one thing out and we promoted it for a certain period of time with content that was all geared towards promoting it a little bit differently, so you weren't seeing the same thing over and over and over. Like, you weren't just seeing the album cover. You were seeing the album cover move in different ways or different sections of the song were playing in the background. And like, I know I'm a huge, like, Caleb Beartooth stan.
Yeah.
But honestly, I think he does it really, really well. Beartooth, when they do a release, like, you take notice of it because he's starting to do this new thing where, like, each release has its own, like, color.
Yep.
Like, the last album Below was purple.
Yeah.
And so all the music videos had, like, a purple tone or hue to them in some way, and it made it a very cohesive release. Sunshine, that single, was yellow.
Yeah.
And he promoted it as yellow. The single before that, Riptide, was like aqua or like teal. It was like just very teal. Like they have teal guitars and, you know, he's wearing a teal bandana.
Yeah.
And, you know, and like it's just very teal. With Sunshine too, he starts wearing a yellow bandana.
Yep.
And now the new one, I Think I Might Love Myself, is like pink.
Yeah.
They're using pink guitars. There's a pink background in the music video and he's wearing a pink bandana. Like it's just like, it's so simple. And I'm not telling you to like go do that per se, but like he has found a way to tie all of the content related to a piece of art together so that you can't misinterpret it. You know, like, I think it is kind of important to think about, in one way or another, to what extent you want to do this is entirely up to you, but just think about how you package things together. And if thing is, especially with albums, like if you're still doing albums, like that's a very conservative choice to me. That's an old school choice to keep doing albums and not focus on singles, because hip hop and, you know, and rap and pop are at the top of the charts because they prioritize singles over albums. They don't put out a lot of albums, or if they do,
it's a package of singles.
It's just a package of singles, that have been put out over the last 6 months or 8 months usually. So if you're prioritizing releasing albums and that's the package of art that you want to release, you have to figure out, I think, how everything works together. Like, which are the singles and how do those singles represent the pack of art that you're putting out there. Same with the videos, same with just the branding, everything like that, like the lettering you choose. Are you going to do consistent lettering throughout the whole thing or not? Are you going to have consistent colors, like that
it's figuring out what's consistent and what's not.
What needs to be and what cannot
be. This is a new song versus that one. Because you know damn well when you're scrolling, you have half a second where you look at the thing. If it's like, oh, I've seen that before. But so something has to jump out at you and go, oh, it's a pink background like I've seen. No, I haven't seen that before because it's different lettering. Cool. Let me read it.
You're scrolling and you like Beartooth. Beartooth is your favorite band. So while you're scrolling, if suddenly pink jumps out, you're like, oh, this is something about Beartooth. You know,
because
like,
I know that's their cycle
maybe
at
it's,
the moment.
Maybe it's new news. Maybe it's a new thing. Like maybe they released a video for the single that I've been really enjoying for the last couple of weeks. Like it makes it so your eyes make a visual connection to your brain that says, like, this is related to the thing I like.
Biggest thing is all that cohesion has to continue. And frankly, I think it works a lot with bands are kind of cluing into this more and more, is it has to continue and happen after the release. So when you say, hey, we have a new song and people can actually act on it, because too much pre-hype is kind of annoying.
Yeah, and that's what I mean. Like, Fremont is basically completely done away with that. Unless it's something like a show.
Yes. Shows are different because you can't promote it afterwards.
Because you can't promote it afterwards. So it makes sense to try to do all of that promotion pre-event.
But again, with shows, the action you're asking them to take is buy a ticket.
Yeah, come to the thing.
So there is a thing that
so I have
you
to
are,
keep reminding you of the thing that,
the
I, need
thing that I need you to come
to
or to buy the ticket for or whatever. It doesn't work. Like, I know it's not music specific, but with movies, like when the last Mission Impossible, Dead Reckoning, whatever,
there
was so much hype on the trailer happening. It was like, I can't watch it. And then by the time it came out, I was just annoyed.
And then it kind of disappeared.
I'm like, I've kind of forgotten about it. And yet I'm like, is it still in theaters? Is it still a thing? Like, where is it? I don't know. But I've kind of lost interest in a way, and I'm like, I'll get to it at some point.
Yeah. Like, and it's a balancing act. Yeah, especially movies is a great comparison. I often say, like, there's a lot to compare and contrast between, like, the film industry and the music industry. Like, there's a lot of comparability there, especially to your point, too. It's just like, how early do you start promoting and planting these seeds? Because you don't want to do it so early that they get excited, but then have to wait so long that they forget about it or anything else gets in the way. And then once it's out, you got to keep reminding them, hey, it's out now. Like, go see it. Because, yeah, I agree. Like, there's and I'm the kind of person, too, that, like, if I'm watching TV and there's ads and I keep seeing the same ad over and over, I will hate your product. I will grow to absolutely hate and despise your product because I've just seen some stupid ad too many times. And now
the same ad.
And it's the exact same ad. So now I've over dissected every little element like you shouldn't. And I'm poking fun at it. And I'm just, like, deconstructing it to a level that was never intended. But, like, I've seen it too many times. I've seen the same ad too many times and I hate it. Like, so I will never buy your product now. Like, there's a little bit of that danger, I think, with film and with film, like, music, with the pre-save. It's just like, I don't care anymore. This isn't going to be, the song isn't going to change my life. I know that. I don't care. I'll hear it when I hear it. Leave me alone.
And I think, too, there's a lot of ads that they play into it, but it's different. And this is where they're smart, is when you see an Old Spice commercial, you know it's an Old Spice commercial, but it changes enough and there's enough of different ones that you're like, you watch them because you're like, oh, which one's this one? Oh, what's he? It's the same damn thing, but it's also slightly different. Or I forget, there's one that does it really well, but like you know, even the verbal vacation ones, it's different every time. It's a different story, and it's like, oh, which one's this one?
Yeah.
Oh, what?
Yeah.
It's not the same stupid ad for 3 months that literally is the same. It's the exact same one. It's like, okay, there's five that are all very similar, but they're slightly different. So I'm intrigued by it, not annoyed by it.
Exactly.
It's got to work, and you got to be aware of that. Like, you know, we're giving these examples of emotional or whatever. If it's a funny song, it's got to be funny marketing.
Yeah.
If it's a serious song, do some serious marketing and some emotional, if it pulls at the heartstrings, if that's the sentiment of the song, use that. Lean into those things. Don't try and contrast it and do something that's completely not what the song is.
No, yeah.
Because that will just piss people off.
Yeah,
honestly.
I think so. It'll come off as inauthentic too.
I think this is a good way to kind of go into a few key takeaways for bands, one of which is don't do all pre-hype. Remember, you need to do some post-hype of the release too.
Yeah.
And give yourself excuses to promote. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a thing where you're like, it can be uncomfortable to just say, hey, go watch this. So create those other reasons. Go watch this for 2 weeks is because of the video. Then go listen to it because it's on streaming now for another 2 weeks. There you got a month worth of promo that isn't the same.
Yeah, that isn't the same. And it doesn't always have to be clips of the video too. Like, make a meme. Make a meme related to it. Like, with
a photo of the band. Hey, we have a song. Whatever.
Yeah, do like just a quick little like phone video of like, hey, we just released this music video. We think it's really great. We'd love for you to go check it out and tell us what you think. Make a meme about an inside joke that's in the video that you won't get unless you watch the video. You know, like just brainstorm some different ways of promoting your content, because I think that's the only way to kind of stick out from the fray.
Yeah.
In that
regard. And you can act like each post, each one of those little phone videos is the first time somebody's seeing anything about the video. We just released this. Even if it was 2 weeks ago and you've made 25 posts about it.
Yeah.
We just released this new music video. Go check it out. Let us know what you think. That's fine. You don't need to be, well, we've been promoting this for about 2 weeks now. Can you?
And the views aren't that high.
Yeah. Like,
we would like some more views, please.
But act like it's the first time somebody's seeing it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And because that hits harder.
Yeah.
Which makes people go, oh, I've seen it. Okay, cool. But like, it makes them stop and think, did I see it? Oh, let me go check it out now that I'm seeing this again. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Honestly, I will say, I think post promotion is more important than pre-hype.
I would agree.
I think if you're going to put your energy somewhere, put it into promoting it after it's out, not before it's out.
I think a next really good lesson that you've kind of danced around and talked about a bunch as well is the planning of this whole thing.
Yeah. That's been very successful for
us.
Yes. Is just, even if we don't know when we want it out, just deciding on, well, when
pick
feels,
an arbitrary something
what feels right. Like, okay, is it just like, do we want it out before the end of the year? Or do we want it out in the new year?
Yeah.
When in the new year? Let's say March. Okay. So we can reverse engineer it from March.
Yep. Or doing
just
the opposite.
Just somewhere to start from.
The, I guess, reverse engineer the reverse engineering. I don't know. but like,
I think that's just called engineering.
Maybe. Anyway, but where you look at it and go, I don't know when I want it released, but let me look at this. It's going to take us a month to do the recording. It's going to take us a month to do the mixing. It's going to take us 2 weeks to do mastering. Mm-hmm. It's going to take us a month to do the videos. It's going to take us. Okay, so that means we need it up on that. It would get to Spotify by this time, which means it can be released on August 5th.
Yeah.
Okay, great. And that's, you have to think about those steps, not go pick a date out of the air or think you're suddenly going to have it, or artists need deadlines too. So having those timelines is the only way anything's going to get bloody done.
I agree. And I think too, like, again, like all the timelines I've been giving that Fremont has worked on is because we've done it all internally.
Yes.
So I know what I can pull off. So we stick with that. But like, even if you can communicate these hopes to someone you haven't worked with, it puts the conversation in a more realistic box as opposed to like, if you produce, like if someone who hasn't worked with you, Chuck, approaches you and says like, here's our timeline that we'd like, we want to be able to track it over this month and then have it mixed by the end of this month so it can do this.
Yep.
Then you're working with real numbers and you can say, I can't make that happen because I know I have two other bands that want records mixed in that month. It helps you schedule with them and then tell them what's realistic. So before they've even started, before they arbitrarily, you know, like set this date in mind or set plans in motion for that date, you can stop that and say, no, I actually will need 2 months or a month and a half, you know?
Yeah.
Or I think with Everything You Want to Do, because they've only done EPs and now they're doing an LP, you need 2 months for this for tracking alone, you know, because we're going to do it in like little chunks all the way through.
Yeah.
Or you say, if you guys can take off a week, we can get it done in a week, you know, like, you know,
it's the timeline honestly just needs to be talked about, because
just talked about and just conceptualized the whole way through and not just, okay, we're ready to record a record. When are you free? Well, the earliest you can come in here. Okay. It's done. Can you mix it now? Well, no, like I got other projects. Like, when do you, like, did you need it mixed? Oh, we wanted it mixed within 2 weeks. Not going to happen.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. When can you come in? Okay. That day. Okay, cool. But we want to release it the week after that. Mm-hmm. Not happening. You don't know what you don't know either. Mm-hmm. So if you're working with somebody new or somebody you worked with before and you kind of think you know your timeline, you don't know what they're doing. You don't know if this project's different.
Yeah.
You don't know what, but if you say, hey, we're thinking this and they go, yeah, that's not going to happen. Or yeah, no problem. But at least, you know, versus, okay, it's tracked. We actually want it out in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Oh man, you should have told me that, or I would have like pushed you to track it earlier or done it faster or prioritized
it. Or maybe there's a compromise. There is like, we could do one.
Yeah.
We could release a single in that time. And then wait much longer to get the record done. I don't know. Like, figure out what your ideal timeline would be, take it to them, and then work with them to make it work for everybody.
Yeah. It works with everything, releases or just making anything. Communication is key. There's the lesson.
Yeah, that's the ultimate summary here. It's like, communicate with your partners, communicate with yourselves too, like with your band and with anyone else you're working with.
But, and it's all, honestly, the whole process of that kind of stuff is a series of compromises where it's like, well, if I want this, then I need that. If I want that, I need this.
It's like mixing. Yeah,
100%. And
everything can't be at 11 the whole time.
No.
Some things have to take some priority over others at different times.
Exactly. Only Spinal Tap has figured that one out, and the rest of us have not.
Well, technically, Marshall figured it out.
Oh, right.
Spinal Tap has benefited from figuring it
out. Yes. The other thing that I think is to pre-plan and pre-prepare all of your main social posts, promo posts, like write them in a Google Doc, get the video, the files ready to go, get the photos ready to go, put them in a Google Drive or a Dropbox drive so that everybody can grab from, have them labeled, ready to go, so that
when it comes time,
you don't, and frankly, you can use stuff like Buffer and schedule the stuff, you know, like most of my content, because I can't sit on Instagram. All of my promo, all my stuff is all pre-planned ready to go for like 2 weeks in advance or so, at least, or I do it in a batch and then it's done. You don't have to think about it every day because that's when you're going to fall off the wagon. That's when you're going to have problems where you're hyped, but then it's like, oh, what do I post? I don't know. But if it's planned, if it's ready and it's there, you can grab it. If you have something else that you come up with because, oh, that's fun. Great. Perfect. That can, it can shuffle around. But if you have no idea, assume you will have no ideas when it comes time to actually promoting it.
Yeah. Or just, you know,
get
like
that stuff ready.
You were going to do it on your lunch break, but lunch ran late because there was a meeting, you know, or just you're having a bad day and you can't think of anything funny to say, but the vibe is funny. You know, like,
make sure that those things are ready. And I think, you know, you've said that a number of times. That made the whole process so much easier, and the band was all on the same page as to what's getting posted, where, when, and why, and how.
And we had a Google Doc that said it all, basically. It was just like, audio drops this day, video drops this day. So everyone was ready to make time out of their day to like share it and push it around. And one more thing on that, too, because I think this came up a couple times that I want to reemphasize, too, is don't split your audience's focus.
Yep.
Pick one thing that you're promoting in one way.
Yeah.
Like, and I don't mean like only do Instagram and ignore another platform or anything like that. But like, if you're promoting the audio, just promote the audio. If you're promoting the video, just promote the video. If you're promoting, if you're doing pre-save, just promote the pre-save. Like, don't say, go listen to the single and pre-save the EP. No, just one thing. Ask your audience to do one thing, because that's all they have capacity for.
One action.
Yeah.
That's at the end of the day, especially
because we're constantly asking them to go to other platforms from whatever platform they're already on. Just always stay focused. Promote one thing at a time.
Honestly, it's promoting one action you want them to take.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's not even the thing. It's the action you want them to
promote
take
one
for
action
anything.
At a time. Go buy a ticket to the show. And then
come see the show.
Yeah, come see the show. Stream it. Add it to your playlist. Like, even that is two different things. Don't ask them to stream it and add it to your playlist. do one campaign that's asking people to add your song to their playlist, do another one that's just saying, go listen to it so we can have higher numbers and get attention.
And think about the way that it works when it's like, go stream it. So you're listening to it and then go and remind them a week later, hey, add it to your playlist. Mm-hmm. And they'll go, oh, right. Good idea.
Yeah.
Like people are so, it's fascinating, but people don't think about some of that stuff. So you do have to tell them, which is fine, but it's that one thing. Oh, right. Adding it to the playlist. Yeah. Versus go stream it and add it to your playlist. They'll go and hit play and they go, oh, right. This is a dope song and forget all about the playlist.
Yeah. That's the thing. It's like,
you know,
assign one task to your audience.
And then I think honestly, the last thing with all of it, is just making sure that all of these things have a cohesive branding image and
in some way,
some capacity. Mm-hmm. What's the point? What is the look? What is the tone of the messages? What is everything?
Cohesive branding for you. It will help you kind of just stick out. It'll help you just kind of like your audience notice you a little bit more. I think
people like change, but they also like the consistency and the comfort that that brings. So if you know, like, because even with the Fremont stuff, every time I saw this like one color with a cool little hand drawn looking thing moving around, I was like, ah, Fremont.
Yeah.
Instantly, because it was like they're on that train right now.
Yeah.
Which next EP, next record, next whatever, doesn't have to be that because I'll be ready for something different. Mm-hmm. But because it was a series of posts at that time, it had a cohesive branding. The captions were all a cohesive messaging.
Yeah.
And it made a lot more sense for the whole project as a whole, that whole section of time for Fremont. And when a band does that, it just makes so much more sense.
I think so. Yeah. Because you just recognize it right away.
Yeah. Instantly.
And it just kind of sticks out and you just take notice. Yeah.
Yep,
and it reminds you of like anything you've forgotten. Cause like sometimes too, like I'll look up and like, oh, there was a new music video. I'll go watch that tonight when I'm not at work or whatever. Yep. But then I get home and life takes over and I forget about it. But then I open up Instagram. I'm like, oh yeah, no, there's that video out. Like, let me go check that out. You know? Yep.
All right. That's a great place to end it. Thank you, Malcolm, for,
coming over.
Yeah. This has been great. And, I can't wait to see what Fremont's working on next. Oh, wait, I know. this is going to be great. Thank you guys for listening. Catch you in the next episode.
Bye. Oh, do I get to say it?
Yes.
Always be creative.
Back in our day.
You put out the single, then you put out the album, then you put out two more singles, and then you toured your ass off.
Then you tour, and then you come back, and you do it again.
You do it again in a week.
And every time your budget gets less.
Yeah. No, that's still the case.
No, it can't get much less than zero.
There's nowhere to go but up, baby.
No, actually, it costs money.
Yeah.
That's, you know, and that's just
that keep going into the red. Yeah.
Oh, man.